I'd like to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 16. Book of Romans, chapter 16. We had a message prepared for on the subject of baptism. We'll, Lord willing, wait to preach that. In Romans 16, verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And Paul closes each of his letters with some form of those words, grace be with you. And we know that Paul's letters are written to different churches, different individuals, different churches in different places, different individuals in different places, different churches under different circumstances, and individuals under different circumstances. Writing to churches with a variety of needs, writing to individuals with a variety of needs. But he closes with grace be with you. Regardless of who he was writing to, that's how he closed. Because he knew that whoever his readers were, this is what they needed. They needed God's grace. That's true if you're lost. You need God's saving grace. That's true if you're saved. You need the grace of God upon your life. I do believe that these words are in the form of a prayer. They do express a desire of Paul for each of his readers. No Bible writer declared or taught or emphasized salvation by grace more than Paul. He not only experienced the saving grace of God on the Damascus Road, but he also experienced God's grace over and over and over. God's grace for living his life. And he has a grasp upon the importance of grace. He has a grasp upon the importance of the need of grace. And he seems to have a grasp on just living life in the domain of God's grace. And therefore, he closes his letters with these words, grace be with you. We read in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, concerning the apostles, and great grace was upon them all. And this is Paul's desire for his readers. He knew from his own personal experience that this was the need of God's people. And that's always so. Doesn't matter who we're talking about. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter what the condition of the person is. What they need is the grace of God. The subject tonight is the desire for and need of God's grace. We ought to desire it for ourselves. We ought to desire it for one another. We desire it for ourselves because we need it. We desire it for others because they need it. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I do not pray that God give me grace and do not pray that God give grace to someone else. That's our need. We're reminded in, if we turn over there, 1 Peter chapter 5, we want to just look at God's grace as our first point. But in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, but the God of all grace. He's the God of all grace. He's the dispenser of it. He's the distributor of it. And He dispenses it by grace. And He distributes it by grace. So it reads here, the God of all grace. He's called us, it's referring to salvation, unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Then He speaks of God's people suffering. And then He says, the God of all grace make you perfect or complete. Establish, strengthen, settle you. That's what grace does. Grace does all of those things. Grace matures us. Grace establishes us. Grace strengthens us. Grace settles us. Who doesn't need that? And we are reminded in Acts 20, verse 32, if we turn over there, Acts chapter 20, verse 32, so we have the God of all grace. And then in Acts 20, verse 32, He mentions the word of His grace, speaking of the Bible, which is able to build you up. So there's grace in God. There's grace in His word. And this grace is able to build you up. We are reminded in Hebrews 4, verse 16, that there is a throne of grace. And we are invited to approach the throne of grace to find help in time of need. So there is grace for living life. Not only is that true, but there are certain places where you can expect to find grace. God, His Word, and there is a throne of grace. God's people need to stop looking to the world and people for what only the grace of God can give. People all the time are looking for what only grace can give, but they're looking in all other directions. We need to be looking, we need to be searching, we need to be pleading for God's grace. And again, it's not based on any merit. If that was so, it's not grace. So what is grace? We all know what grace is. When you talk about salvation, it's God's unmerited favor. It's favor from God that we do not merit, that we do not earn. In our Christian life, and also in salvation, it is God's activity toward us in love. Which again gets us back to unmerited favor. Because we cannot merit God's love. God loves in spite of. So it is God's activity toward us in love and in favor. It is God coming to us. When we talk about the grace of God, when we say, Lord, give them grace, what are we praying for? We're praying that God would come to them. In His love and in His favor, that's grace. It is God intervening in our lives, interrupting our lives, and He does so again out of love and favor. Who doesn't need that? Everyone needs that. God to come to us in love and favor. God to intervene in our life in love and favor. But it's more than that. It's more than God's love and favor. It's God's power. It's God's power toward us. It's God's power on our behalf. It's God's love. It's God's care made available to us. When we pray for grace, we're praying that God's power would be available to us. God's love would be available to us. God's care would be available to us. And whatever else God is, let it just be available to us. Notice in 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 10. He says in verse 9, he talks about how he's the least of the apostles because he persecuted the church of God. But, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I believe right there he's talking about saving grace and just grace, the overall picture of grace. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. That is, it amounted to something. I believe it always does. Then he goes on, he says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Now he's talking again, he said he's the least of all the apostles. And then he goes on and he says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, that is, the apostles. Then I believe he probably corrected himself. And he said, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That's God's power. He said, I labored, but when I really think about it, it wasn't me laboring. It was the grace of God. I labored by the grace of God. I labored because of the grace of God. In other words, the grace of God enabled him to serve the Lord. That's what God's grace does. It's not always easy to serve God. It's never easy. Circumstances can be very adverse, making it very, very difficult. But God's grace enables us to serve God under any circumstance. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 8, we see, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What he's telling us here is that God's grace is exhaustless. It is abounding, that is, it's overflowing, it's going beyond. It goes beyond all our circumstances. It goes beyond all of our needs. But notice the words that he uses here in describing God's grace. He uses all grace. All grace. And then he uses the word abound. And then he uses the word always. And then he uses the words all sufficiency. And then you have in all things. And again, you have the word abound. And then you have the word every. It gives a pretty good description of God's grace. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, his grace is sufficient. That is, it is suitable to us. Whatever the circumstance might be, whatever the need might be, it is suitable, it is appropriate to us. 1 Timothy 1 verse 14, his grace is said to be exceeding abundant. That is, it's more than enough. It's more than enough. From Hebrews 4, verse 16, again, his grace is said to be of help. That is, God's grace gives us aid. God's grace gives us assistance. God's grace gives us relief. And again, who doesn't need that? We all do. 1 Peter 4, in verse 10. Oh, let's turn there. 1 Peter 4, and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. That simply means that His grace is of great diversity. His grace consists of great variety. It has many features. It has a variety of purposes. As you read through the Bible, you see that there is enabling grace. Grace that enables us to stand. Grace that enables us to do whatever it is we need to do. There is supplying grace. God supplies our needs by grace. There's preventing grace. This is one that is often overlooked. Preventing grace. The things God prevents us from doing. God has prevented you and I from doing a lot of things. In fact, some of the things that we would have liked to do, but we didn't. God's preventing grace. And I think back, and you can too, before you were saved. I think especially of teenage years. There was a lot of preventing grace going on in my life and your life as well. There's sustaining grace. Grace that just holds us up. We wouldn't be able to stand without it. There's persevering grace. And I believe, again, I think it's an error. Some may disagree. But people will ask all the time, how does a lost person handle such and such? I believe God even gives them grace. I really do. Because otherwise they couldn't handle it. God gives them some sustaining grace. He upholds them. Not the same way He does you and I, the saved. There is persevering grace. Grace that allows us to just keep on going. Why haven't we quit? We've all known people that have quit, and we've all been discouraged by people that quit. Why didn't we quit? God's persevering grace keeps us going. There is grace that gives strength. There is grace that gives peace. There's grace that gives calm and assurance. There's grace that gives us courage. There's grace that gives wisdom. Titus chapter 2. The grace of God which bringeth salvation teaches us. It gives us wisdom. It gives us instruction and direction. Grace gives joy. Grace gives gladness. So from all of this, we see that there is such a thing as the grace of God. It's present, it's abounding, it's sufficient, it's abundant, it helps us, it's manifold, and it's for living life. God not only saved us by grace, but He gives us grace to live the life that He's called us to live. I'll go back to 2 Corinthians 9. We've preached from this verse many times. It's one of my favorite verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able. God is able. Now, in the context here, we see that God is able means He has the ability, He has the skill or the know-how, and this is true in all conditions, this is true under all circumstances, this is true at all times. God is able. But He's talking about something specific. He says God is able to. Okay, so the little word "to" is going to tell us something specific that God is able to do. God is able to make or to cause all grace. All grace. That's the whole amount. the whole quantity needed at any time. God is able to make all grace abound, overflow. And then notice that next word, toward. God is able to make all grace abound toward or in the direction of you. Those are wonderful words. He is able to make everything that we need to overflow in our direction. And then it gets even more specific. That, in order, speaking of a purpose, that ye always, that's the time frame that's covered, that ye always having, present tense, possessing, all sufficiency. Now think about that. Always having all sufficiency. God is able to do that. God is able to cause us to always have all sufficiency. Sufficiency here, of course, would refer to capability. It would refer to enablement, suitability. God is able to cause this grace to abound toward us, giving us all sufficiency in all things. Not just some things, but in all things. That means all matters. You say, this matter is more than I can handle. That is a true statement. But you don't have to handle it, because God is able to make all grace abound towards you. When you come to that realization, this is more than I can handle, that's when you ought to pray. God, give me grace, because you're able. In all matters, in all concerns, in all situations, in all circumstances, in all events, that ye always may abound to every good work. So what does all of that mean? It means by God's grace, I can do what is right in every circumstance. In every circumstance, we can do what's right because of God's grace. He's able to cause it to abound toward us, causing us to abound in every good work. So you cannot use circumstances as an excuse not to do the will of God, because God's grace takes care of that. Who doesn't need God's grace? So we know this. We ought to have a desire for God's grace. Not only should we desire it for ourselves, but we should desire it for others as well. So the desire of Paul's heart is, grace be with you. He's desiring that God's activity, the activity of God, would be toward them in love and in favor. He's desiring that God would come to them, intervening in their lives with love and favor. He's desiring that they would experience God's power, His love, and His care. We ought to desire that for one another. We ought to desire that for ourselves. We need that. There isn't anyone here that does not need that. So when you don't know what to pray? People say all the time, well, I need to know all the details so I know what to pray for. Those people are dangerous, by the way. They want all the details, not because they want to pray. You don't need the details to pray. All you need to know is that God is able to make all grace abound. And that's your prayer. That God would give them grace. There's grace for living. And we can live in the domain of God's grace. You and I can live with the assurance that God has what I need at all times, in all places, in all circumstances. And He not only has what I need, but He is able to cause whatever it is that I need, He is able to cause it to overflow in my direction, enabling me in all things. That's grace for living. That's what we need. When the Lord said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, He says to us today, "My grace is sufficient for thee." That's still true today. This was said in the context of Paul's thorn in the flesh. It's described as Satan's messenger was sent to buffet him or beat him. It was something very severe in his life. And this world, of course, is very sinful. It's very wicked. It's very twisted. It's filled with all kinds of traps, and it's enveloped in darkness. It's spiritually parched. It's full of needs. But know this, my grace is sufficient for thee. Know this, that God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And it's sufficient. Again, life is made up of a lot of different seasons, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The seasons, of course, is a good picture of life. With every season, there comes change. A lot of changes have transpired in all of our lives and will continue to do so. Length of days change in seasons. Length of days and nights. Dark and light. Things look different in different seasons. There's a change in weather. Each season brings different dangers. Come December, I have no danger of having heat stroke outside. None whatsoever. Not in Michigan, anyway. With seasons comes different feelings. You feel different in different seasons. That's so in life. Life's made up of different feelings. Emotions are different in different seasons. There's changes in opportunities. Changes in what we do. But you and I, as we go through all the seasons of life, we need to know this: God is able make all grace overflow in my direction, that I can abound in every good work. We need to know this, that my grace is sufficient for thee. We need to look for God's grace. We need to depend upon God's grace. We need to draw from God's grace. And we need to desire it for one another. Desire that God bestow grace. You can never go wrong praying that for an individual. You see an individual that's living in sin, you can pray a lot of things. And there's nothing wrong with praying, "Lord, cause them to get right." All kinds of things. You can also pray, "Lord, grant them your grace." With that comes what? Repentance. So it's never wrong to pray for God's grace. There are times of great physical need, and we need God's grace. There are times of emotional need, and we need God's grace. And all the preachers who say for those who have emotional problems. Well, if they get their heart right, all that take care of itself. That's ignorance. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's true. But your heart can be right, and you can still be an emotional mess. So there are emotional needs. There are spiritual needs. And at times, our physical needs can be overwhelming. At times, our emotional needs can be overwhelming. At times, our spiritual needs can be overwhelming. But God is able to make all grace overflow in our direction. There are times that are just heavy, very troublesome. Times that just gnaw at us. There are the draining cares and burdens of life. But God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You say, well, I don't deserve it. That's why it's grace. There are difficulties, there are trials, there's tribulations, there's pressures in all areas of our life. But God is able to make all grace abound toward us, and His grace is sufficient. There are times of bad news. Bad news can come in every area of our life. But there's grace. There are sorrows that can come upon us at any moment. There are heartaches. There can be great distress. Some of these can be almost beyond belief and overwhelming and consuming. But God is able to make all grace overflow in our direction. Who doesn't need God's grace to overflow in their direction? We all do. So that's just a good thing to pray for one another. There's disappointments, there's confusion, there's anxiety, there's fear. But God is able to make all grace abound toward us. There's storm clouds that we get all anxious about. Sometimes they don't amount to anything. But there are the threat of storms, and then there are real storms. But God's grace is sufficient, and God is able to make grace overflow in our direction, whether it be the threat of a storm or whether we be in the actual midst of the storm. God's grace is sufficient. There are furnace times. There are times when we, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, will walk in the fire, walk in the furnace. And there's grace for that as well. There's nothing you can come up with that there isn't grace for. And that does not minimize a person's problems. A lot of times people take it wrong when you say, pray that God would give them grace. They think you're minimizing their problems. No, that's not what we're doing at all. We're just telling you that there's something greater than your problem that will help you get through your problem. I believe we have a wrong attitude when we get upset when somebody talks about grace in our hour of trial. That's what we need. Now, they may say it in the wrong way, granted, but that's what we need. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. There are times when we fall. Is there anyone here that's never fallen? Is there anyone here that's never gone backwards spiritually? Is there anyone here who never came short? We all do. We do every day. But there's grace for that as well. We fall, and God is able to make grace overflow in our direction. There's times we become trapped and stuck where we shouldn't be trapped and stuck. That happens all the time. It can be in our mind. We can get stuck in a thought loop. I've known people that have been stuck in a thought loop for 30 years. God's grace can take care of that as well. And we all have those thought loops. As soon as you see one coming, you need to start praying, God, give me grace. This thought loop isn't going to help me one bit. And it may even be true what you're thinking, but it's not going to help you. Going over it over and over and over again. There are times of temptation. People have different temptations. I may never have a specific temptation you have, and vice versa. But that's not the issue. The issue is that there's grace for every temptation. There's battles, there's struggles. Most of those come from within ourselves. But there's also battles and struggles outside of ourselves. But God is able to make grace overflow in our direction. There are times of slander. There will be times when people slander you. There will be times of false accusations. But there's grace for that as well. You know, people, when they're slandered, when they're falsely accused, the first thing they want to do is defend themselves. That's not Christ's example. That's not his example. Christ did not defend himself when he was slandered or falsely accused. Just give it to God. Give it to the Lord. He'll take care of it. There's going to be times of abandonment. There's going to be times of persecution. There's going to be times of loneliness. But there's grace for that as well. God's grace, God is able to make grace overflow toward us. I never go into a nursing home without praying that God would be gracious to the people there. We may be there someday. And if so, I guarantee you I'm going to need a lot of grace overflowing in my direction. It can be a very lonely place. Times of uncertainty. But God's grace, God is able to make all grace abound toward us. So there's present, exhaustless, abounding, sufficient, abundant, helping, manifold grace. And God says it's all sufficient. It's what we need. It enables us to do what we cannot do. We need to realize how weak we are, how frail we are. But we need to also realize we have enablement through God's grace. God's grace gives us strength. God's grace gives peace. God's grace gives assurance. God's grace gives courage. God's grace gives wisdom. Direction, instruction, and joy. God's grace causes us to look at things differently. 2 Corinthians 12 is a good example. You know the situation. Paul has a thorn in his flesh. He prays 3 times that God would remove it. God answers and says, "My grace is sufficient for you." In other words, Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn. But I'm going to give you grace to get through it. And then Paul said, "Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities." He changed his whole view. And now instead of praying that God would deliver him from the thorn, he's rejoicing in it. Grace can do that. Grace can change our attitudes. Grace can change our spirit. God's grace that does that. We've all gone up to the hospital or a nursing home, and you go up there to encourage somebody, and the person ends up encouraging you. That's grace. That's the grace of God. God has given them grace. So Paul went from asking God to do something to basically a song of victory, all because of the grace of God. You see, God's grace quieted his life. It's another thing grace does. Grace will just settle you down. A lot of times people just need to settle down. Settle down. God's grace is able to do that. It's able to turn the turmoil into peace. Paul also came to the realization, he came to realize that he had a greater purpose in life. He said, for Jesus' sake, or for Christ's sake. And it's true, God can rearrange circumstances. He does it all the time. You can find yourself in a horrible circumstance, and God can change. God can rearrange your circumstances. There's no doubt about that. But God can also rearrange you and I in our circumstances. And that's grace. So God's grace overflows and exceeds our inabilities. We're all loaded with inabilities. We're all loaded with shortcomings. And God's grace overflows and exceeds them all. So we need to pray for one another. God, give them grace. Give them grace. Somebody doesn't act right. Pray to God, give them grace. Grace overcomes and exceeds that which depresses, that which hampers our spiritual life. God's grace is more than enough. For every mountain you and I might be called to climb, for every obstacle that stands in the way, for every trouble that may come our way, for every difficulty, for every trial, for every heartache, for every disappointment, for every weakness, for every need, God's grace is more than enough. There's more than enough power in God's grace. There's more than enough comfort in the grace of God. So it ought to be our constant plea for ourselves. God, I need grace. You feel yourself losing control of your temper or whatever. God, I need grace right now. And it'll come overflowing. It'll come overflowing in our direction. Need to pray that for others as well. God, give them grace. Give them grace. May that be our constant desire. May that be our constant prayer for ourselves and for one another. Grace be with you. That fixes a lot of things. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.